Before I start my sermon, indulge me a bit. I am an Advent geek. When I was in college at Baylor Baptist University, every year I went out and got an Advent wreath and put it in my dorm room. And people would come by and go, "Why do you have candles burning?" And I was especially thrilled with the second reading today. I really wish I was preaching on that epistle. That was a wonderful reading. But it reminds us of Jesus coming. There ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough to keep me from you. This song, penned by Nicholas Ashford and Valerie Simpson in 1966, was made popular in recordings by Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell in 1967, and then my personal favorite, Diana Ross, in 1970. On the surface, that song sounds like it's a moving tribute to undying love, especially Diana Ross. But in reality, the song was written in 1966 to comment on the burning issue of desegregation. It was a tough summer. Massive civil unrest. And on July 30th, 1966, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference launched a series of marches in Chicago, Illinois, calling for fair housing for all. Dr. Martin Luther King led demonstrators through white neighborhoods where residents threw bricks at them and shouted back in defiance in the face of the protesters, "White power!" In the midst of that troubled moment, this very song spoke to many hearts of the undefeatable need for us all to be together. We still feel that need today. Even more so in the wake of Ferguson, Missouri, in the wake of the verdict announced this week in New York City when Eric Garner was placed in a chokehold, an African-American man, and died. Last night in Berkeley, I know we're all going to get tired of hearing about this. I admit that readily, but these days have highlighted the fracture of our nation into black and white, rich and poor, haves and have-nots. Now, into that situation, in Isaiah's prophecy in the beginning of Mark's gospel, comes a single truth. God is coming to be with us. God is coming to be with all of us, no matter what. According to Isaiah, God is moving heaven and earth, mountains and valleys, rulers and enslaved, oppressed and oppressors, in order to come and save. It's not that people are coming to God, it is God coming to people. You have to understand the structure of the book of Isaiah, three sections. In Isaiah 39, the people of Israel were in one of the most difficult situations they had ever faced. They were exiled in Babylon, hundreds of miles from home, having endured 70 years of being kept away from the land they loved so much. In fact, most of the first 39 chapters is really complaint about the oppressors, complaint about their situation, and wondering what they did to deserve this. On top of it, these people were forced to serve and perform music for their Babylonian captors. But the prophet now, at the opening verses of chapter 40, cries out, "Enough! God is coming to us across the wilderness. God will rescue. God will save. There will be a new day when God is coming to all people, a day when God overcomes whatever in their lives is keeping them from the life of shalom, the life of peace, the life God intends." in God's presence, those among us who have been refugees or oppressed, as well as the oppressors themselves, can gain new life. The rest of the book, it's here in chapter 40 that new vision begins to take hold of the people Israel, a more universal vision, a new day, a day when not just Israel, God's chosen, but all people on earth, all people, even the oppressor Babylonians, will see, experience, and know the salvation and glory of God. Likewise, at the very beginning of Mark's gospel, we hear another proclamation, the news of another arrival, a new blossoming of shalom, which God longs to bring to everyone. John the Baptist stands in the same wilderness from which God came during Israel's exile, away from Jerusalem, away from the holy place, and he proclaims good news from that place. But this renewal is not the restoration that his hearers or even we ourselves expect. You and I hear that word gospel this morning, and what do we think of? We think of a religious message, or perhaps appropriately, a divine book, the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But for Roman ears, that word in Greek, evangelion, gospel or good news, was specifically the proclamation of an empire, the Roman Empire to be specific. The gospel or good news was the peace and prosperity which the Romans declared they would bring whenever they came and conquered and civilized a nation that they encountered. The Roman good news came with marching armies, political intrigue, economic exploitation. So in Mark's view, at the very beginning of the gospel, and in the proclamation of John the Baptist, it isn't Caesar and his armies who will bring peace and all good. It is God and the Lord Christ and God's Holy Spirit. For Mark, God has broken anew into our exiled world and is marching once again across our broken terrain, but not this time coming in prophetic word alone, but in person, in the person of Jesus. And hear this, it is God's undefeatable purpose to bless, to save, to bring peace to all people. Here are two very different times in the life of Israel, but one message, God is coming. And it's exactly into that place where God comes in exile and today. God offers us that chance to have shalom, the peace of life. God overcomes the presence of things that separate us from others, like our wounds, our stubbornness, sometimes our painful inability to understand where others are coming from. Here is my personal testimony of that. I was raised in a suburb of Dallas, Texas, Richardson, north of Dallas. My high school had 1,800 students in it, graduating class of 575. We had no African Americans, zero. And during the course of my high school years, we had one English teacher who was African American. And she taught there exactly 1 year before we drove her off. My dad regularly drove the family 20 miles out of the way. This is hilarious. I remember the first time I asked him about it. Around LBJ Freeway. And those of you who have been to Dallas know this, to avoid driving directly through a 20-mile shorter route that would have taken him through South Dallas. My uncles, my aunts, my cousins all lived in an area of Dallas called Oak Cliff. It was a Core City neighborhood. It's where my mother was raised. But as soon as African Americans moved into the neighborhood, they moved out to suburban Duncanville to get away. I grew up in the 1960s having been taught that civil rights was a communist plot. I remember hearing that as a child, that all white folk were created equal and everybody else, well, they were everybody else. I've unlearned a lot of prejudiced behaviors in my adult years, and I am still on the road to that recovery. The suspicious glance, the carefully and quietly locked doors at the corner when you drive through certain neighborhoods, the quickened step when you encounter a group of those people on the street. What changed for me was when I began to have encounters and friendships and relationships with people whose races were different than mine, whose backgrounds were different than mine, whose socioeconomic classes were different than mine. And that encounter taught me one single thing. To us, to all of us, God comes across this barren wilderness we call our lives. God says, I am enough for each of you and all of you. Only I am sufficient. Only I can save. This is the good news and the comfort promised by the prophet Isaiah and fulfilled in the preaching of John the Baptist and the experience of Christ, God's anointed. Now, this Advent good news is going to be offered to us by many different sources and from many different places. And some of it is good news indeed, but some of it is incredibly shallow. It isn't good news for others or won't be good news for us all in the long run. But today, at 10:45, 10:50, on Sunday morning, our good news rests in the promise and reality of Jesus Christ wherever we are on our faith journey, wherever and whatever we have faced in our lives. There ain't no mountain high enough. There ain't no valley low enough. There ain't no river wide enough to keep God from us. Amen.